right. Mark, you're a little fired up today. You got a visit from, got a big Caleb Joseph, Nick Kyprios crossover. That doesn't often happen.
Yeah, jumping for joy.
I'm under instructions from Caleb Joseph to get you so worked up that you're out of breath, because that's when he likes it the best, when you get all worked up and are out of breath.
It's Tuesday.
So let's talk about Vladdy's contract.
I don't care.
Anyhow. The Jays will open their three-game series against the Cleveland Guardians tonight. 6:40 is the first pitch on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. In my hands, I have the Jays starting lineup for tonight's game. Bichette leading off, Clement hitting second at third. Guerrero is at first. Kirk, Springer, Schneider, Class A, Straw, Jimenez. And it's guaranteed win night because Eric Lauer is on the mound. And I'm not saying that facetiously, so don't anybody start texting in. Right now, my confidence level in Eric Lauer is pretty high.
Why is that?
Because the options stink.
I mean, his ERA and his two road starts are over 5. Why is that a big deal?
Road starts, home starts don't matter.
They don't?
No. If both road starts in the same... We're in the same stadium against the same lineup? No. So it doesn't matter. Honestly, home road splits, the home stuff matters.
Oh, yeah.
Home stuff matters.
Does it?
If you can't pitch at home and you can't hit at home, you're screwed. But I don't care about road stats. You're playing in 18 different parks. I don't care.
You know?
I don't care about that at all. No.
Well, half your games are on the road, so you don't care about stats on the road?
No, because some guys have lousy stats in one ballpark. Great stats in another ballpark. Most guys have so-so stats in the majority of parks. It doesn't tell you whether or not a guy is a great road hitter, unless he's hitting over 300 in every road park, or he's hitting 20 home runs in every road park. Other than that, you don't know.
You know, some people would say if you're a great hitter, it doesn't matter where you're hitting.
Yeah, well, some people are stupid.
Well,
so I mean,
I'm sort of the one that says that. That I think if you're a really good hitter, it doesn't matter where you're hitting.
Take a look at every great hitter. They got ballparks they don't do well in.
Yeah, they have parks. It's not an entire, road season.
Yeah, but again, that's my point. If you hit 400 in one ballpark, 100 in another ballpark, 200 in most of them, home numbers tell you something because it's the same home ballpark. But road numbers, different lineups, different parks. Some guys rake. Is Vladdy a bad road hitter? I don't know. He rakes. Does he rake in Boston? I guess. Does he hit? There are some ballparks he doesn't hit that well in. There are some he rakes in. Home road splits are, to me, they don't matter.
What did you say Lauer was today? What was the phrase? Automatic win day or something? What is that what you said?
Yeah, something like that.
Huh?
I have a high level of confidence.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll give him a chance, right? I mean, if you look at stats with the Guardians. What, in the last 11 games, they're 29th in average, they're last in runs in baseball, they're third in ERA. So what's that tell you? That Lauer will probably have a good day. The lineup's going to have to, they're going to have to do some things. They're going to have to lay off the cutter in off the plate. They're going to have to zone in on, Logan, what's he trying to do? Is he trying to get you out in? Is he trying to get you out of way? What part of that zone do you not like? What are you trying not to swing at? That, I think, needs to travel. What you mentioned about the Jays hit really well at home, okay on the road. So, just the at-bats, they're running into a pretty good pitching staff who knows how to pitch the weaknesses, who pitches with power. Logan's not a hard thrower, but he does, have some late movement, and he's got some deception in the windup, which is not the easiest thing to overcome. So it's not – I know they rake lefties, so they have this year. What are they? They're – third and average at 271, their ninth slug at 406 against lefties. So, that sort of bodes confidence when you're going into the game if you're a Jays fan. But I just think the approaches maybe have to get a tick better. They can score a few more runs doing that. And the next 10 games are big time for them. Maybe the biggest 10 games of the season. There it is. Hey, took me 4 minutes. I just think you have to do what you have to do, Jeff. This is one of those times where
if they go 5-5 these next 10, is that bad?
Well, it depends on what the other teams do. And somebody in this room saying that. And it ain't about so much about what you're doing, it's about what all the teams in the American League are doing around you.
There's no such thing as the big. These 10 games aren't any bigger than the last 10 games.
Yeah, I think the way you looked against the White Sox, who you're facing now,
I will say
what
this,
they do well.
I will grant you this. The games against the Yankees are big.
Two of the teams are in your division. One of the teams are chasing you in the wild card. Yeah. These 10 games are big.
The game,
they're not going to tell you that, but they are.
The games against the Yankees are important because that's a team you're chasing. I mean, that's the way it's kind of a silly argument. All these games,
Red
Sox and Yankees games are important, but to me, the more important games are the games against the teams you're chasing.
Red Sox and Guardians are chasing you.
Okay.
The Yankees are not too far ahead of you, which means those games against the Yankees will be big, not only for the Yankees, but for yourself.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Like you need to be better.
It's one of those arguments that, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
So you're not going to yell and scream if they come in here and they went 3-7 in the 10. Okay, we'll remember that. Write that down.
Nope.
Where you're not going to yell and scream about anything.
When is the last time? Because
normally if they go 3-7, that means a lot of things are going wrong. You won't be yelling and screaming at anything. Okay, good.
Depends.
Good to know.
If they go 3-7,
yeah,
and two of those wins are against the Yankees, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm looking ahead to the Yankee series. I really don't. Again, second or third in this division – going in the All-Star break, I'm fine with that. Where you are in the wild card spot, I'm fine with that. That's where I am, considering, as you say, Vladdy hasn't hit, considering all the stuff.
So saying where the Red Sox are at in the wild card standings, where the Guardians are at in the wild card standings, if you went 3-7, you may not be in a wild card spot. Doesn't matter to you?
If you beat the Yankees again, I'm focused on the Yankees.
Oh, okay. So nothing. They didn't. Might as well not even play the games up until the Yankees.
I'd be okay with that. No, it's just you can't run around and say biggest game
sure
of the year, biggest
can.
Series
sure
of the year, biggest
can.
Series. We were saying that.
No, you weren't. I was.
No. You, Bob. BS.
I was. I
you
said the first month of the season. That
BS. You
what
did
I say? 18-13, 18-11. Whatever I said.
You were saying when they got swept by Tampa Bay. Oh, the next series is the biggest series of the year.
Yeah.
So, are we on the ninth biggest series of the year?
Absolutely.
Oh,
changes
geez.
Every week. No God. Question. Depending on how your last series looked, how your best players are looking. You wouldn't think a big-time inning in the ninth inning, up a run against, say, Kwan and Ramirez and Hoffman looks dominant. You wouldn't be excited? He wouldn't be excited?
He wouldn't find
his swagger? Yeah, these games matter, man. Like,
these games against good teams for
certain guys who are not living up to it absolutely matter. Oh man!
All right, so if they go 5-5 in these teams,
5-5 is okay. I mean, half of them are on the road.
They go 4-6.
I mean,
you would like to see because of
sort of what they're trying to do, where they're at in the standings. Yeah, you'd like to see a little better than 4-6.
It's silly.
It's not April anymore.
Silly arguments. They're silly. And I'm as guilty of having silly arguments as you are of having silly arguments.
Well, that's your opinion. It ain't a very good one, but that's your opinion.
It is my opinion.
Yeah, and it ain't
I'm
a very
right.
good one.
Nah, I'm right.
Not really.
I'm right. There's no such thing as a big series this early in the year unless it's against a team you're chasing.
It's early?
Unless it's against a team you're chasing.
We'll ask John when he comes on Friday if there's any big series. I'm sure he'll agree with you that they shouldn't even play the games until the Yankees series.
John will always agree that the next series is the biggest series because he's a manager. And for the manager, this is the biggest game of the year for John. Tomorrow will be the biggest game of the year. While it's a Max Scherzer start, in some ways it might be one of the most important games. But you can't sit there and say that.
Boy, you are just circling them wagons, ain't you? Trying to just figure out a way to make yourself look right.
No, it's all about what happens after the All-Star break and the trade deadline. Up until that point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Jays are a good enough team to play catch-up and have teams in front of them. But roll your eyes
again.
They've
been doing it all year.
Not really. I mean, they were for about a 2.5-week span. And mainly the reason why they haven't been is because the teams in the American League around them are
– You're too negative.
It's true.
You're too negative.
I mean, are they?
I don't like your negativity. Let's talk about something that we know is actually going to happen.
What is it?
Ernie Clement hitting two-hole.
How's that a surprise? I mean, he's slugging over 700 against lefties. What do you think John was like? Well, let's put Jimenez in the two-hole. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a genius move. Who rakes lefties more than anybody else?
How many times has he been in the second spot this year?
I don't know. Maybe none. Vladdy's been in the two-hole.
Yep.
Up until I think after the Phillies game. After the day off after the Phillies series, I think that's when sort of the three-hole started, right?
Day off, close game. They've had a day off. Ninth inning tonight. Close game. Who gets the ball for you?
Really?
Hoffman, right?
That's another one of them. Yeah. Like, okay. These games mean nothing. So who cares who throws in the ninth inning?
Okay.
You know who's getting the ball.
All right.
Again, it gets back to that. He needs to get his swagger back. His swagger would be, you know, facing the top of the lineup and dominating the top of the lineup. That's what it is. Well, it's the same thing. His mojo and his swagger sort of feed off of locating the hitter with some velocity, right? If you need to go up, you go up. If you need to go away, you go away. If you need to crowd somebody, move somebody's feet, you can do that. You just ain't choking it off, throwing it as hard as you can, hoping for the best. So, miss a no-brainer.
Did Chase make a lineup move today?
I don't know.
Or a roster move today?
What was it?
Why is Andrew Bash's stat line popping up in my just down on the farm? Okay, I was wondering. I saw Andrew Bash's stats line in the game notes, and I'm going, what the hell? It's just down on the farm. That's like, I'm gonna be scared for a little bit there, whether or not they'd brought somebody up. Continue. Carry on. Carry on.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, there's some of these games, I think you have to start seeing some positivity and some guys taking some step forward. So hopefully against good teams, good pitching on the road.
Can't you say that almost everybody's taking a step forward except for Vladdy?
No. The second baseman has not.
That's true. Yeah,
he's. You know, there's Jonathan Clase. I mean, again, he's not an everyday player. Just 25th, 26th guy. You know, there's some guys maybe around the bullpen. There's some guys, you know, Max, let's see what that looks like. Like, there's some guys that got some things to do when it comes to, you know, improving and sort of, you know, looking the way I think it's supposed to look, which is, I think, what everybody wants to see, no, against good teams.
This probably won't come as a newsflash, but our friend Jeff Passan, who I'm led to believe will join us tomorrow, he and Kylie McDaniel have put out their top 50 trade targets on ESPN.
Bobichette.
And they, no, he's not. There is no Jay player listed on the thing because nobody thinks the Jays are going to trade Bo Bichette. But the Jays are linked with just about every starting pitcher list.
Absolutely.
A little surprised, pardon me, not in any of the relievers. I mean, I've got to think for, you know, a guy like Aroldis Chapman or Ryan Helsley, well, the Jays would have to at least, you'd have to at least make a call on that. But I think it makes sense that they would be more inclined to go after starting pitchers. And there are some guys out there, you know, again, according to Pass. And then these guys do their research. They don't just, you know, throw names out there. I found it really interesting. You have Alex Bregman is on the list, which.
Well, he can opt out, right, at the end of the year. So maybe that'll have something to do with it.
And maybe they just.
I'm sure they've had conversations with him, you know.
Preemptive. I'm just looking at some of the starting pitchers. They also have Jaron Duran on the trade block, which is interesting. They got Sandy Alcantara, Freddy Peralta, Seth Lugo, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly. They have Johan Duran on the trademark. What is he's got? Two more years of control after this season. I mean, if the Twins are serious about trading him.
Yeah, I mean, it's teams in front of you, right?
Yeah, they got Emmanuel Clase.
Oh.
He's under contract for less than $30 million through 2028. And, I mean, part of this thing is, you know, they're just saying it's not just – it's guys who could bring about a decent return. Emmanuel Clase.
It's kind of what the Guardians do. It's what the Twins do, right?
It is.
If they're on the edge.
And, you know, the guards of Cade Smith there. I mean, it's not out of the question that they would consider – I mean, they would get a haul for Class A.
I don't know, would they?
Yeah, because you're getting a guy who's under control for another couple of years.
How much he's pitched, the way he looked in the playoffs? I don't know. A haul?
Luis Severino, Ryan Helsley, we talked about Tyler Molly, Zach Eflin. I don't know if they'd trade within the division. Reed Detmers and Walker Buehler, who, based on what I've seen, oh, man, I'd stay away from Walker Buehler based on what we've seen this year. But it is interesting that, you know, and these lists are put together talking to various GMs, And obviously the industry thinks the Jays are really focused in and starting pitching, which of course will bring tomorrow's start by Max Scherzer, you know, into the spotlight. It was going to be in the spotlight anyhow, but it just between Eric Lauer and Max Scherzer, it will be intriguing to see the shape of the bullpen going into the third game of this series.
Well, I think they can fix Hoffman. I think Garcia coming back will be a huge boost, right? It'll make it easier for John if he does have to go up to Hoffman and say, you know, I'd like to throw Garcia in the ninth inning a couple of times. I think that'd be a little easier sell to Hoffman going forward. You know, maybe Burrs on the sort of the outside, his breaking ball might play in September. I mean, that might be a little nice mix coming. You know, you get little fewer breaks between outings, which would be nice. Fluharty, do you have any idea what you're going to get from him? He's 23. He's never been through, you know, sort of this kind of grind in the season, especially trying to make a playoffs push. Like, I think they feel like their bullpen, you know, with the guys coming in, with what they got, with what they could fix. I didn't even mention Yariel, the way he's looked and what he can do in high leverage spots. So, yeah, for me, it just screams, how do you get innings and quality innings from the rotation? Do you, you know, again, I think they believe in the top three, excuse me, the top three guys. But after that, there's a lot of unknowns. You have no idea what you're going to get from Max Lauer. That's a giant, huge, pleasant surprise. But do you have any idea if that's going to, you know, can he continue to throw strike one at a career rate like 66%? I mean, he's living on the edges like he's never lived on the edges before. You know, he's more of a triangle guy, right? In, way, and up. It's, you can almost draw a triangle mm-hmm. with where he's throwing the baseball. Can he continue to do that? Hopefully he can, but, you know, you get Manoah back, maybe that would be sort of a nice little, you know, end of August, maybe early September. So, you know, they do have some things coming. I just think they need that guy. Is there that guy on the market that they would, you know, could go get and don't have to give up the house to get it? I don't know. I mean, again, just screams about their lineup, the middle of their lineup. If their lineup can continue to maybe take a few more steps forward, you get Tony back. Who has any idea? You have any idea when Tony's coming back? Like, no. You know, who knows about that? You get Dalton. Sounds like Dalton's starting to play in games in Florida. That
Dalton's
would be nice.
Clearly
he's
closer
close.
Than,
yeah.
than
you would think. You
Santander.
Would think end of weekend, maybe. Yeah. First of next week, I'm sure that's sort of what it's kind of sounded like anyway. So, you know, you get him back in the mix. He can hit in the 2-0. He can hit cleanup. Like, he can do some things to run into some baseballs. He'll make your defense that much better. So, you know, there's a lot of things I think that you can look forward to, which will make sense about the rotation. It is about the quality of the innings. It's not always about the innings. It's the quality of the innings. So, yeah, I mean, I think they got – if you can get Hoffman right – and you get Garcia back. Now you got Yariel and Garcia 6-8, and you'll have Hoffman stuff in the ninth inning. And that's a sort of a recipe to, you know, making it a high school game, which is what they're trying to do.
Yeah. No, it is going to be, you know, I still think if you're the Blue Jays, I think a lot depends. Let's see what Tony, if Anthony Santander comes back and is more like the Anthony Santander of last year, I think you can pretty much just say this is our lineup and we're going to focus entirely on pitching. Where I kind of wonder about things is if you get to the trade deadline and we kind of are where we are now, right, with the Yankees leading, the Rays playing well, and the Jays, the Red Sox, and then Cleveland and whoever, that
Seattle.
Whole bundle, and you're playing the same way, and Santander really hasn't hit. I just wonder if you're the Jays at that point, do you look at maybe adding a hitter? To me, you've got to focus on a pitcher, but at that point, do you also keep a little bit of your powder dry to add a hitter? The one thing I'll say about adding pitchers at the trade deadline is how many times have we seen a team trade a free agent eligible pitcher? Like a Zach Gallen, for example.
Yeah.
And we come away, we go in to say, oh my God, there's going to be a feeding frenzy for him. Teams are going to be lining up to, the deal's made, and it's somebody's sixth best prospect, their 13th best prospect. Well, you know,
everybody looks at their prospects differently.
Yeah,
right?
and other organizations do, right?
Absolutely.
Again, your prospect is only worth what the other organization sees. Mm-hmm. And clearly the Jays saw things in some of the Astros prospects, you know, that guys that weren't highly ranked.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me think it's a little easier to envision the team adding a potential free agent. It'll probably cost them less to do that than if you were going to add a Class A or somebody with multiple years of control. That's where you get into, okay, now the other team, instead of taking your, you know, instead of taking your sixth-ranked prospect plus a single-A outfielder that's that one of the scouts in your organization really likes, right? Now you get into a to a thing where you have to pay a little more. So my inclination is almost, because I just don't think the Jays have enough. I don't think they have enough to, as much as their farm system seems to be going up in a lot of people's estimation, I just don't know if they have enough to get that pitcher who is under two more years of control. You know, maybe Arizona takes, gives you Gallen for, I don't know, maybe Class A plus somebody else, or Aurelvis Martinez plus somebody else. You know, I think that's,
I would think they're looking for a piece to help, right, not to take over. I think that's sort of what you're thinking about, right? The fourth and fifth rotation guy.
I mean, it would be nice.
Can give you some quality stuff. Is there a number three on the market that they could get? I don't know about that. That would be some, maybe a little bit more heavy lifting. I just think within, they feel confident in what they already have. Maybe not in the rotation as a whole, but I think they're thinking if they can get, say, that 25 RBI month from Vladdy, and if they can fix Hoffman, I mean, now you're cooking with gravy. Like, let's be honest. Like,
and if Jimmy comes back.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's right. There's three pieces that just, you could close your eyes. Now you're thinking about, I got the middle of the order taken care of. What I'm getting if Tony comes back is gravy. Whatever I get from Dalton. You know, you're thinking you're going to get something from Dalton, right? I mean, he's going to do everything in his power just because of what kind of person he is.
Yeah, you kind of know what you're going to get. You're going to get out of Dalton. You're going to get some power.
You put him in a sort of the right position. Maybe you stick him in the two hole. Maybe he can simplify it enough to know now that I'm going to get heaters sometime early in counts, maybe in a fastball count, a fastball count, right? When he's ahead in the counts, a fastball count. Maybe that's sort of where you put him, maybe to try and get him off to a better start where he can start hitting some homers. I just think the people that I've talked to, they feel real confident with what they already have. Mm-hmm. Just trying to fill in the blanks for getting a guy in here that can help. Because of the Jimmy Garcia thing, because they think sort of this Hoffman thing is, you know, it was a combination of a bunch of things. And they think maybe it's, you know, again, they're thinking more about it was you looking like a giraffe trying to field the ground ball and tag out Benintendi. I mean,
you get the sense
instead of
that
the stuff.
You get, I've always gotten the sense that they think they know what they have to do with Hoffman. I've always gotten that sense from Petey or John that just reading into what they're saying, that yes, they understand there's some issues, but they think they have the fix. Now it's just a matter of trying, you know, to get that fix done as quickly as possible. Like, I've detected when managers start to lose confidence in their closer, and I don't get that from John about Hoffman.
Well, often do they have? Like, well, who else?
It may be because I go back to the interview we did with John earlier in the year. Now, he's never going to say this, but we did an interview with him earlier in the year where I asked him flat out, is Hoffman your ninth inning guy? And he said, yeah, for now. And
spring
then
training, I think. Is
yeah, it. And then he went on. So I think John and Pete, I don't think they would ever come out and say this. I don't think they're probably shocked by this, which makes me think that they will be able to figure it out. And that's why last week when you asked me about Hoffman, I said I'm not worried. I'm putting an inordinate amount of confidence in Pete here to figure this thing out.
Yeah,
I think they will. If his velocity had flat, you know, if he was throwing 94, 93, then I go, okay, now we got an issue.
Yeah, I don't think they're shocked because of the ninth inning and what it takes to be really good consistently in the ninth inning.
I think
they're a little surprised by the lack of being able to make an adjustment, right? Why is he throwing so many non-competitive pitches? Like a guy that's been around as long as he has, even in the eighth inning. I mean, he's pitched enough in the eighth inning to know, right, if I'm doing this amount of times, I should be able to know because I've been through it, how to fix it. I think that's what they're a little surprised about. I know he sort of went through the tipping of the pitching thing. He, I think, he's taking care of that. Now it's just about command, and like I mentioned yesterday, shape on the slider is a big deal for him. I think that split finger, you almost want to throw that thing in the garbage. You know, you'd rather see more, I think, of him throwing back foot sliders to lefties, even though that's a no-no a lot of the times because of that little natural uppercut and the lefty swing. But if you're elevating and dotting a hitter, I don't think it really matters when you throw it. I just think it's more of – because we've even heard John say, you know, it's just weird sort of the sequencing of when and why he would throw certain pitches to certain parts of the lineup, which is just
– But aren't you –
I think they're going through that a little.
Isn't the thing with his splitter, isn't that the thing that separates him from the guy you had last year? Because what were we talking about with Jordan Romano? Too many sliders. Fastball, but too many sliders. That's why I think I understand why Jeff Hoffman would be reluctant to get rid of the splitter. Because I think that's, first of all, I think it's a really good pitch in the ninth inning of a game. But I also think that's,
things been getting hammered.
That's kind of the thing. But that's kind of the thing that might separate him from other. There aren't a lot of closers who throw three pitch. But let me finish. I think he thinks he needs that third pitch, is what I think.
See, I think that's the hurdle they're trying to jump here. Is they feel like I don't think he always needs it. He'll need it occasionally.
But you know what I mean. He thinks he needs it.
Oh well, I think he thinks he's really good. That I think is the, you know, it's sort of like that Vladdy thing. Vladdy thinks he ain't really going to ever get fastballs. And that's why you see a lot of the times he's late and he goes up and sort of looks like lower half that he's going to sit on breaking balls. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's again, if he starts dotting the heater where he wants to throw it, I think the split finger and the slider will take care of itself. It'll be better pitches. You know, again, I think they feel confident in what they got. I just think some guys that they were counting on to do special things need to start, quite frankly, doing special things.
Push your on button, Jeff. Yeah. Have to learn how to do this. We'll be joined by Chris Jimenez in a few minutes. He's a Gardens TV analyst, MLB Network radio host. Stan Kasten, president and CEO of the Dodgers. Always a treat to talk with Stan. He joins us at 5 o'clock. We got a lot to talk about, obviously, about the Dodgers. You know, the Shohei Ohtani situation, the NL West. There's just a ton of stuff to talk to Stan about. It's always good to talk to him. We've got Blue Jays tickets to give away. And because Thursday is a day game, we are going to be going to the back leg line today. The number is 416-413-3959. I'd rather get your thoughts right now. As opposed to waiting until we're doing Blue Jays talk, because then it all gets confused. So please leave your name and location as well. And if you have a question for John Schneider, who will be joining us on Friday, please leave that question. Just say, I've got a question for John, and you can leave it today, and we'll save it and use it on Friday when we talk. Mm.
What's your question for John? First one right off the top.
Well, I think we'll know a little more about Anthony Santander. Other than injuries?
Yeah. I know mine. Right out the hop.
Other than injuries.
Right out the hop.
I mean, I'm sure you're going to ask him what makes you think Vladdy's close.
No, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I'm past that.
The first question would have to be about the rotation, depending on what Max does.
Yeah, I think the obvious thing now, you're going to have to start pointing the finger at the second baseman and start wondering about offensively what he's doing, what he's going through, how's it going to get better. I mean, I looked it up. Where did I get that? He's sitting in the mid hundreds against the heater, like 145 or something. Can you have an everyday second baseman hitting in the where he's hitting? I'm not sure. I think that's it. I think it's something that it wasn't a thing whenever they're hitting, they're scoring tons of runs. When they're not, and everybody gets back and gets healthy, to your point about your first question about the health, what happens then? I mean, that may be – it's getting closer, too. I mean, maybe not about the Tony thing, but when Varsho comes back, you could almost not put him on the field.
Well, I mean,
I could put Springer in right. I could put Ernie at second. I could put Barger at third.
You're still running out Straw, Schneider, Lucas, Rodens, and you don't need to. Varsho's return to me doesn't have any impact on Andrés Giménez at all. Where it does get interesting, obviously, is when Santander gets back, because now you got to figure out how do you get George and him in the lineup, and that has an impact on Addison Barger. You want that bat in the lineup, and if Ernie continues to, you know, he's got the third best average in the National League. Third best average in Major League Baseball this month, behind Yandy Diaz and Jeremy Peña. So there you go, third best average in the American League. That's where it gets interesting, because I've from what I've seen now, not only do I need Ernie's bat in the lineup, but you know, Ernie, the drop off defensively between Giménez and Ernie, it ain't that great.
Nope.
So that to me is when it really gets interesting.
It's a topic of conversation for sure. I think. Yep.
It will be.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm rooting for him.
And I'll tell you what,
he's a good dude. But
I wonder, and I know we're up against the clock here. I want to break, but I also wonder if you get closer to the trade deadline, does Andrés Giménez become a guy that maybe you look at moving? Maybe some team would take.
I don't know.
Well, it's part of a package.
A bunch of the money, but.
Well, yeah, but you know what this team does? This team is in a position to eat money. So that's something to keep an eye on. Anyhow, you're right. We'll talk to John about that on Friday. Well, sometimes you get full, sometimes you don't. It's just amazing. Chris Giménez joins us next as a player and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Sportsnet.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tells you. All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590. We had a little argument off camera.
It was an argument.
Mm-mm. You agreed that I was right.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, I know it won't. Jays,
well, that's your opinion. It ain't a very good one.
The Jays and Cleveland Guardians will open their 3-game series tonight at 6:40. It'll be Eric Lauer on the mound for the Jays, Logan Allen for the Cleveland Guardians. Chris Giménez is the Guardians TV analyst and MLB Network radio host. Chris joins us on Blair and Barker. Chris, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for doing this. The first thing Kevin and I noticed, the first thing I noticed was looking at the Guardians, their issues against left-handed pitching. This year. Now, I know the last 3 games, things have turned around a little bit for them, I believe. But they're going to be facing a lefty starter tonight. They may not know a great deal about Eric Lauer. What explains their issues against left-handers? Is it an extension of their issues against right-handers as well? Is it just simply a matter of handedness? Or?
Well, I think it's, truthfully, guys, I think it's a little bit of both. And I know that's probably somewhat of a cop-out answer, but if you look at the way the lineup has been constructed against lefties, you know, the way the roster is right now, there's a very heavy, dominant left-handed hitting group of guys on the roster, and that we do have some flexibility in regards to, you know, switch hitting in that regard. But if you think about it, how many more left-handed pitchers, or how many less left-handed pitchers do they face as opposed to right-handed pitchers? So most of those switch hitters are getting at bats left-handed and not right-handed. So I think that's part of it. But then I also think if you look at the way, again, this group is kind of constructed, there's not a lot of power there. And if these guys do not find a way to grind out at bats and almost play as we deem it, guards ball, meaning moving runners, being, you know, causing chaos on the base pass, they're going to find themselves in a bit of trouble. And I think that's what we've seen for a majority of this year, in particular against lefties.
I think the Jays got Logan Allen May 2nd. Chris, has he changed anything since then? Is he different?
Yeah, a little bit. He's throwing his changeup a lot more. And again, I think this is a great thing. This is something that he's really needed to do. It's not that he's made any physical adjustments. I think he's just become a little more confident in the pitch. And it's really opened up his ability to use the inner half of the plate. For most of last year, what we saw in the beginning part of this year, he was very one side of the plate dominant, very hard into righties, and they didn't really have to expect anything out over the plate to keep them honest. So if he did miss trying to come into a right-hander and he missed in the heart of the plate, that's where he really had a problem with taking damage. But that changeup has kind of equalized that. It's allowed him to maybe get away with a few more mistakes in the heart of the plate, because right-handed hitters in particular have to respect that outer part of the plate. If he can continue to show that he can throw his changeup out there and be consistent with it, then he's really had, you know, a lot of success the last two or three starts in particular because of that.
Chris, is this Guardians team a playoff team in your mind?
That is a fantastic question. And I should probably tread lightly. No, I'm joking about that. But I do think they can be a playoff team, truthfully. There's going to be some things that have to go right. You know, this team has not been healthy for the most part of this year, and that's aided into it. They've had some significant injuries from the starting pitching front. They are going to be getting a little healthier at the back end of the bullpen here in the next couple of weeks. Shane Bieber is now on the mend as well, and that'll just give a huge mental boost to the guys, let alone what he can do. They're going to have some help offensively. I just think the way this group's kind of constructed, like we kind of talked about, I'm not sure if they have the offensive firepower to make a lot of noise this year in the playoffs. We know they can pitch when they're on, but so many of these guys have such a difficult time trying to pitch, you know, and keeping runs off the board when you can't score offensively. You know, you go out, you give up a run or two, and in your mind, now the game's over.
Now, when you talk about that, about sort of finding extra offense, you know, our friend Jeff Passan did his top 50 trade list,
right?
You know, which are always fun. And one of the names he listed on it was Emmanuel Clase.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, right, well, with Cade Smith there, I mean, you know, yeah, I understand, you know, there might be some concerns about Emmanuel Clase, but you've got a little bit of club control with him. I would think he might be the type of guy that might be able to bring in a hitter for you.
Well, I would think, to be honest with you, he's probably the only guy that I could see moving teams at the trade deadline that would bring you anything. You know, unfortunately, you would hope that, you know, some other guys would have been able to step up. But then again, you wouldn't be in the situation if those guys have stepped up in the first place from an offensive side of things. But I think you bring up a great point. Listen, he's still an elite closer, an elite back-end reliever. I think he got a little out of whack for a bit and probably lost a little bit of confidence, you know, from the playoffs in the beginning of this year. But the last month plus, it hasn't necessarily been the easiest, but I think you're starting to see him kind of gain his confidence back, work through it. And in particular, we were in Sacramento this week. You know, he had two opportunities where he had bases loaded, and ended up getting himself out of the jam. But the difference I noticed was the calmness and the confidence. It was like, okay, no big deal. We've been here before. I just have to go out and execute. That's exactly what he did, and it was game over from there. So in that regard, I definitely think there's a ton of value there. And plus, you mentioned the club control. He's under control for two more seasons at an extremely affordable rate compared to what the going rate is now for, you know, back-end relievers. I think there's a lot of trade value there. And again, I think it would be a sign of strength, or a trading from, you know, some strength within the organization, with them potentially getting Trevor Stephan back, Eric Sobrowski back. That's going to help, you know, aid in that conversation. And I'm not saying that the Guardians will do it, but I think if you're looking for a trade chip, that's probably a great place to start.
What makes Cade Smith so good?
Oh my gosh. This guy is an absolute animal. I mean, animal. From the moment he steps foot in that clubhouse, it is laser focused. He is so in tune with what he's trying to do on a pitch by pitch basis, his ability to make adjustments. And then I think there's just a tenacity to him that it causes a little bit a sign of fear, I think, in the batter's box at times. You know, you see this young man staring at you. He's 6'7". He's put together like Superman, for goodness sakes. And he's out there throwing the ball 97, 99 miles an hour with a really good split. You know, that'll cause a little bit of panic in any hitter's eye. But I think his ability to pound the strike zone and come right after you, you know, then you add in the physical aspect of it. I think that really helps, you know, him. The fact, other than the fact that he's pretty damn good and he controls the strike zone so much, it's really, really going to, it's, I'll tell you this, it's going to be fun if he does get the opportunity to close, because this guy was bred for that particular position on the bullpen.
How surprised are you that Cade has been able to continue this season what he did last season, you know, given that he pitched late into the year because the Guardians made the playoffs? I mean, We have the guy on, and he was a friend of the show and all that stuff, Canadian guy. And sure. I like the kid, but I was kind of looking at the start of the year and thinking, is there going to be any drop-off? Because you do see that happen. Is that just because of the specimen he is, that he's so strong physically that the one year just kind of rolled into the other?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. But the biggest thing that doesn't get a lot of media notoriety is Stephen Vogt came out very early last year and mentioned to every single one of these bullpen guys, we're going to try to keep you under 25 pitches. In their mind, if they can keep you under 25 pitches, that's going to help in the longevity of things, right? You don't see our relievers unless it's a long reliever or somebody that can give you some length. But the four guys at the back end, if they threw over 25 pitches, which I think really happened only four times, and three of those were Class A, and he's a different beast again,
right?
Then they're able to come back out and stay fresh. And that's kind of their model that, you know, so far has worked flawlessly, because these guys, none of them at the back end of the bullpen have ever looked tired. And you can constantly see they're coming in. If they've thrown two or three days in a row, the first guy in there is to bang on Stephen Vogt's door is either Cade or Emmanuel Clase saying, I'm good to go. If we need me, like, I'm ready to go. Let's rock and roll. That's a great thing, you know, if you're a manager, but definitely trying to be cognizant and aware of, you know, how these guys are feeling. They have constant communication with them. And our training staff does such a great job of making sure these guys are recovering at an elite level as well.
Chris, is there a guardian that nobody talks about that's really good?
You know, besides, you know, Stephen Kwan. No, I'm kidding. Everybody talks about Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, don't
you know what? One guy that I – yeah, not those guys. I hear you on that. One guy that I've really – started to like a lot is Gabriel Arias. I think you look at his season and it's been a little up and down from a number perspective, but he's constantly making adjustments, and that's not something we've ever seen him do the past three seasons in particular. At any given moment, he's the most talented player on the field, and that includes when Aaron Judge is on the field. The only player that's probably more talented from a physical perspective was Mike Trout in his prime and Shohei Ohtani right now. I'm not kidding. This kid is a specimen in regards to five-tool type talent. You know, the head hasn't necessarily caught up to the tools yet, but you're starting to see some of those moments of greatness come out. And I think as he continues to get more and more confidence, he's going to, you know, announce his presence a little bit more with authority. And, you know, you kind of have him hitting at the back end of the lineup. It's a great spot for him to continue to gain confidence. You see some wild swings every now and again, like you do with a lot of young guys. But trust me, the talent is in there. It's just getting it to come out consistently.
Max Scherzer is going to get the start for the Jays on Wednesday. What would you be looking for? You know, former major leaguer, former team. If you were a teammate or an opponent, what would you be zeroing in on that would make you think, okay, this is, you know, for first return from the IL, this is okay?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the easy thing to go to is the velocity. The velocity is not what it once was, so we've got to put that out of our head already. But I think the sharpness of his pitches, like, where is he missing? Is he missing in locations that he should be missing in with that particular pitch? Or do you see, you know, maybe the arm drag just a little bit, the elbow lag just a little bit, and some of his sliders start to spin, the types of swings on the sliders? But I think in reality, it's if he makes it through this thing feeling confident in himself, that's when he starts to roll. I think this is a big mental hurdle for him because he's had to deal with a little bit the last couple of years, and it hasn't necessarily gone his way from an injury standpoint. So getting through this healthy and feeling confident, I think, is going to go really, really big for him mentality wise.
Chris, we really appreciate you joining us. Terrific awesome. Insight as always, my friend. Be well.
Thanks, buddy.
You guys too, man. Have a great rest of the week.
Take care. That's Chris Jimenez. He is Guardians analyst. He's also an MLB Network radio host. You can follow him on Twitter, Chris Jimenez 5. He's a good Twitter follow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I haven't, I mean, we've talked to people about the Guardians before we had Tom Hamilton on, but I don't remember them.
It's awesome.
I don't remember them talking about Stephen Vogt actually approaching relievers and saying 25 is your number.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I thought of when I heard Chris say that was poor little Little with them 30 pitches. I shouldn't, because that's mean.
No,
But how it looks after he throws like all those pitches in an inning, like just grinding through it like he's running out of stuff everywhere. It makes sense.
Don't you think in some ways it's easier for a manager to do that when, you know, they've got some guys that are hurt. Like you look at the bullpen they had last year and starting with Class A, it's easier for a manager to do that when you've got a guy with a track record as a closer, right?
Yeah.
Like that. This is why I get back to the Jeff Hoffman thing, and I keep hearkening back to that interview we had with John Schneider about he's pitched in the ninth some, but you know he's not on the same level as a guy like Emmanuel Class A is or was in terms of a long track record. But I find that intriguing. You know, if you're a reliever and you know max 25 pitches.
You better hurry up and get somebody out.
Well, but also, I'm sure mentally, Cade Smith is apparently joining us tomorrow. We'll talk to him. I'm sure I wonder if a guy's thinking, okay, that was my 17th pitch. I got eight more pitches. I'm wondering if they do. Like, I'm wondering how much of that is implanted in your brain as a reliever and whether or not, we'll ask him tomorrow,
I think it would
whether
have
or not
to be.
That has an effect.
I would think it would. I would think so, right?
I mean, you look around and the scoreboard tells you, I've already thrown 19 pitches.
It's one out.
2-0 and a guy. Yeah.
I'm sure they think about it. Yeah, I think whenever you live it, you had your best guys go through it.
Yeah.
And as much as they've thrown in the playoffs, how Class A looked.
Yep.
After throwing all those pitches and, you know, he just looked like he was lost out there on an island by himself. I mean, that'll force you into making changes, right? And now I think them buying into basically saying this is the number.
But I also –
boys, go get them.
I also think that it's once you get to the playoffs, and I think this may be what we – once you get to the playoffs, all bets are off. You know, Alex Anthopoulos talked about
–
basically you'll shred a guy's arm if you got a shot to go to the World Series. No, I mean, that's basically what Alex said. Once you get to the playoffs, you're trying to win tonight.
I think that'd be tough to sell. Like, you've been doing this all year. We're here because we've been doing it this way all year. And now all of a sudden you're going to give Class A 40 pitches in a ninth inning. I don't know. It's a bit strong. Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't think that'd be best case scenario. But I think they will get him there. I think that's the opportunity that they're asking for because of the way they're handling him now, which is a big deal. I just thought a little, which is –
I was thinking the same thing about that 33 or 34 pitch inning. I was going to say something, but I figured that you would bring up the negative and I wouldn't have to do it. We're going to be joined by Stan Kasten, president and CEO of the Dodgers. But a reminder, we are going to the back leg line, 416-413-3959. Again, 416-413-3959. Leave your questions or comments for Kevin, or if you want for myself. But I prefer you to ask Kevin because I kind of look at the back leg line as the segment where I can take off. We're almost at the halfway point of the season. The Jays have played, 77 games? It's getting close. Maybe these are the 10 biggest games of the year because we're getting to the halfway point.
Oh, yeah.
416-413-3959. Name and location, please. And again, a reminder, Friday, John Schneider joins us. If you have a question for the skipper, maybe you want to ask him about Andrés Giménez. Save us from doing the work. We wouldn't mind that. 416-413-3959. Name and location, please. I had something else to say. I was going to just bug you about Vladdy leading all-star voting. But
you're funny.
I mean, that's like
it's a popularity contest.
I know, but I know you get upset.
More power
to him. I know you get upset about that.
No, he's a good dude. I want him to do well.
You just get upset.
And it's odd that he's not. That's all.
Anyhow,
it's okay for me to be the one.
Keep stuffing those electronic ballot boxes, folks. Yeah. Vote for as many Jays as you want. Kirky, Ernie Clement.
Yeah.
Let's get Ernie Clement to the All-Star game.
Barger.
416-413-3959. Stan Kasten's next. Don't go anywhere. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.